You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. Today, we're going to be talking with Mr. Kyle Krueger about an interesting take on marketing. But I think once you get into it, you'll realize marketing is far more than we usually think. And, you know, if you think about the stuff that, Ken and I do in our business, we are always focused on process and systems. And we're going to circle back to a different word with Kyle and his take on what, you know, marketing is and or can be in a very, very similar way. But before I hand it over to him, just a little bit of a background. So Kyle and I had the pleasure of meeting up in a few online events over the last couple of years. And so privileged to have had a chance to encounter him and his brilliance and his entrepreneurial spirit. Every time I get on a call with him, I find out about some new activity that he's involved with, and really sort of getting exposed to the mindset of a young serial entrepreneur who is seriously into a whole bunch of different things. And so there's a combination of all these different businesses that Kyle's involved with, plus his background, working in the air traffic control industry, and how he's sort of rise through the ranks of that industry and has supervised people and seen systems and process in that world, that I think really puts him in a uncommon position of being able to speak with such great authority about so many things. So I'm so very privileged to have him on the show today. Kyle, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, David. I'm really excited to be here today. This will be a great conversation.
Indeed. So, okay, I talked about systems and process, which is sort of our thing, but you have a different word that you want to focus on in our conversation today. What is that?
Yeah, absolutely. The way that I kind of look at marketing is through my own experience, the most highest converting thing that gets me to buy personally and see the most results is a great experience, right? So the operations fulfillment of a product or service that makes you want to tell others about it, come back for more, and it'd be a repeat buyer of the business. And I think sometimes I've been around the, software as a service industry, SaaS, talking with agencies and marketers, that everyone's so focused on the front end, right? And then they forget about the fill in the back end. And that's where you hear about churn and agencies all the time and people not getting results. And I'm glad that you guys, focus on the system. That's where I think we get so much commonality of you got to have a full picture from start to finish of how that customer journey goes to have a great experience to want to come back and buy more.
Yeah, totally. And so we were talking before we hit record about this concept of operations sort of being this all-encompassing thing. And I pushed back for a moment and I said, well, maybe it's customer service and then the relationship. And so, but really, what most businesses don't really consider is the importance of all of those things after they've captured that new prospect or new customer. And so I wonder if you can sort of break down what some of those pieces, what falls under operations in your view.
Sure. For me, operations, it really goes through the whole marketing process, right? You talk about systems of the customer journey, how they go through. But when I talk about operations, the part that gets disconnected is usually at the point of sale, right? So point of sale, there's monies that have been transacted, and now it's time for the business to deliver that product or service to the customer. And what happens from that point to the end of fulfillment, right? That's kind of where I kind of focus on, coming from the aviation background and air traffic, that that's providing a plug and play service for anyone that comes through the door in a highly high quality service and a high stress environment that's highly technical, right? So there's ways that you can systematize your product or service to deliver that repeated happy service over and over again to your customer that a lot of entrepreneurs just forget about because it's not the sexy thing that brings in the customer and, you know, makes the sale necessarily. But it really contributes to the long-term effect of a company, is that having that really positive experience over and over again within the company turns into repeat buyers, turns into reviews, turns into referrals, right? To really create that sustained business. And some of the techniques that, you know, I've been able to port over into private business is, you know, creating checklists, right? So when somebody has a transaction of a sale, no matter whether it's the owner or the sales rep or the fulfillment individual or a customer service, that there's a process that you should have in place that every customer gets to go through, right? Let's use McDonald's as an example, you know, because Everyone's familiar with McDonald's, right? Why do I go to McDonald's for breakfast this morning? Because I know I can get into the drive-thru, make my order, make my payment, get my food in like 3 minutes and still make it on time to like my appointment. Now I may go to another restaurant and go through their drive-thru. And now it takes me like 10 minutes to go through their drive-thru, which now makes me late for my appointment and stuff like that. So therefore, if I'm in a rush, I'm going to go to the place that's systematized and got all their processes in place, mm-hmm. To where I'm going to be in and out quicker, right? And they're able to do that because they've trained their staff to run through a very strict set of processes when an order comes in, right? And I think an entrepreneur tends to forget about that or doesn't know where to start, you know?
So there's a predictability when you have a well-oiled machine like a McDonald's. And I want to make the point that you know, some listeners are probably here going, well, I don't want to be McDonald's, right? Well, it's the concept of having the systems, not necessarily McDonald's as the example of what your business needs to become, right? You don't have to, you know, become a corporate or franchised business. It's the structure behind the business that really is the key to your point, I think.
Absolutely. And even to the transit over to someone that may think they have a high-end service, right? White glove service, let's use a massage parlor, right? You know, and if you have a really high-end, you know, luxury service, that you've thought about your service in a way that you can make it into repeatable steps, right? And that you can explain it to a third-party person that could come in and deliver the same quality of service that you as the business owner or entrepreneur would deliver yourself, because you're attentive to detail, you really care about the service, you know all the ins and outs of it, but you need to now take that knowledge out of your brain and get it down into a piece of paper or a tablet or electronic form that now you can give that process over to someone that's new that can now go through that checklist to now deliver that same quality service that you would deliver personally. And that's how you can scale your business as well. So many people are that key man locked up in their business because they're like, oh, no one can deliver the service like I can or can do the thing that I can. And that really comes down to training and making those systems and processes within your business, like through checklists, you know, able to make that scale, you know, if that makes sense.
So, okay. So I do want to ask about a business where because you brought up this idea of the owner, or you use the term key man, you know, being an essential element in something being delivered, because the business is all about them. So let's take a space that you and I both know a little bit about, the typical financial planner or financial advisor, right? Yeah. Where it's often their client investing in the expertise of an individual, or at least that's how the business is positioning itself around the expertise of the individual.
Yep.
If we are trying to create operations as marketing in an environment like that, and we don't want to be solely reliant on the person whose business whose name is on the door, on the business cards, or on the sign outside, walk us through sort of how that might play out in a business like that.
Sure. Well, it's always going to start with, is you as the business owner need to understand fully what that product or service that you're delivering, right? Let's use the financial planner, that your widget is going to be sitting down with prospective investors or clients that want you to manage their money, and they want to get a return on that money. So that whole process from them walking in the door, signing contracts, signing paperwork, sitting down with you, doing risk assessments, right? All those those steps that happen through that process. You need to really think through that of what is that ideal journey for you as the business owner to create the smoothest delivery of service as possible, but then how much of that you can outsource to other people to take care of, right? So many that are maybe a one-man shop are doing the like phone call to make the appointment, sending them the emails to collect their banking information, all those different steps, right? So all those mm-hmm. admin steps, right? And having it be able to outsource that to a secretary or an executive assistant that can now take care of all that user experience to give them that white glove service that you would have been delivering yourself, to now when you get to the point of now being able to sit down with the client, it's just you doing what you do best, right? So that's the first step. Once you're past that first step, you now need to start bringing in other financial advisors that are going to work, you know, either alongside you or below you, that you can now leverage now their time and licenses through your techniques and strategies through them. So what does that look like? So you bring on a new apprentice or a new person to your practice that's a financial advisor. You're going to want them to shadow you for probably at least a good couple of weeks to a month and sitting with you in appointments, sitting with how you talk, sitting on the types of analysis you go through, and their whole job for that first like couple of weeks to a month is writing down literally everything you do, right? So from the point of how do you interact with welcoming a client, how do you do their analysis, right? All those things, and you write it down. Then once you're done with your day, you compare notes, right? The apprentice that comes on or the partner that comes on reads to you like, hey, when you did this, why did you do this and how did you do it your way, right? And then once you can communicate corrections to that, like, oh, you missed this little nuance or whatever, and be able to amend that step or amend that to like get to the source of the why they're doing that particular step. Mm-hmm. You want to build that out into an SOP, right? So you build that onto a standard operating procedure that now that new partner or apprentice that could come on can now go into now a new appointment with now a new potential client and be able to deliver that same level of service or expertise that now you would have been delivering yourself, because they understand the whys you're doing what you're doing, the sources of information you're referencing to deliver. And then it's going to be just based on experience, them doing it more and more to be able to get to your level at that point. But that's how you're able to replicate a highly leveraged, highly technical position. Yeah. Is there's nothing better than that on the job training, right? They have to be there with you, seeing why you do what you do and actually going through the steps, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So, okay. We talked about sort of the difference between this operational stuff and the front end marketing. And I want to talk a little bit about benefits of, to the business of doing all of this. Cause obviously you talked about how it can be done. Why would they want to do it in the first place? And I can think of, a few things like client retention, right? You mentioned before we hit record, a business that you've been an advocate of, that you said, they did something in their business that I decided I'm not, going to be an advocate of theirs anymore. And I imagine that's a challenge that other people have, is they have a bad experience. They're going to go around and tell people, oh, don't go to, this is the classic one at Disney, that they have like garbage cans and people cleaning stuff up like every, I can't remember what it is, 28 feet or 18 feet or something. And yeah, it's because they know that, there's the amount of time that somebody will hold on to something before dropping it on the ground versus throwing it out. And they want to have the cleanest parks possible, right? The worst thing in the world for Disney is for somebody to say, I was walking, I was at Disney with my kids and I stepped in some gum and I had it on my shoe. Yeah. And it just ruined the day, right? Obviously, this is something that businesses want to avoid, to be able to continue to have their clients, customers, patients patronize them. What else?
Yeah, I mean, really, those are the main core of it is having it. Besides retention and having that repeatable service that you're delivering, you as a business owner also, you free up your time, right? Because now so many business owners are stuck in their businesses, right? They're not scalable. And when someone wants to go sell their business, that's the number one reason why a broker can't get you, someone buying your business or anything, is that You are your business. So if you're ever thinking about wanting to exit your company one day, or be able to sell it off, or even just get back your time to be able to go do the things that you enjoy, you need to start systematizing your delivery of service. And that's by bringing in employees and people that can work for you to take care of all these different facets of your business that now you're currently taking care of. So from a very selfish reason, besides like it's great for your bottom line to be able to have customer retention and get those reviews and referrals coming in, it's probably the most sacred thing is your time, right? You're going to get your time back. So if you spend the time now to get those processes and procedures implemented, the leverage that you're going to have for the rest of the time that you're working with that business is almost incalculable, you know, yeah, that you're going to get back.
Yeah. What you just said reminds me of that, the Michael Gerber refrain about working on your business rather than in your business. And, you know, if we go back to that financial planner, financial advisor who is on their own, is making all the phone calls to follow up, to make sure people are going to come to their next appointment, and doing all the work that they could then, you know, offload to an assistant. And then to the point where they're bringing other people into the business. Well, maybe their role or their time commitment is reduced on the client services part, but they may change their role in terms of business management, business growth, maintaining consistency among the team in the delivery, things like that. So, I mean, yes, absolutely, they can save time. It's not like they can walk away from the business and let it run on its own, unless they, you know, find somebody to run the business for them as well, right? There's those considerations.
There are, and still though, you can get to the point that you can set up the business in a way, and I'd argue almost any business can be set up this way, unless you are super like you are the product at that point, right? But if you have an actual product or service that can be scalable, you can walk away from the business for easily a couple of weeks to a month and not have to touch it.
Yeah.
Right. Now that doesn't mean that you're going to neglect the business, right? Like you're still going to keep tabs on things and like, you know, but from a day-to-day operational standpoint, delivery of service, you know, types of things, it leaves you to have the time to have those high level conversations with your accountant to actually review your finances every month and actually like have time to sit down and go through like what's going well, where are we making money, where are we losing money, and what can we do to shore up things and do those really high level, high impact activities and not being worried about calling and following up with a client to make their appointment. Right.
Yeah. I've spoken with people who have, multiple businesses that they run like you, and and how they're able to check in with the team that's actually operating each of those businesses, and you know, it seems like a glamorous life. Oh yeah, I have my 45 minutes you know, once every week or Monday, Wednesday, Friday with that team, and you know, the business takes care of itself aside from that, right? I'm not needed. I'm curious to sort of hear about the experiences you've had, because, you know, you're working on so many different projects. How do you manage that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And really for like, I'll say the three main things that I'm kind of like working with right now, everything is hurry up and wait. You know, as that comes from the government world too. Everything's a hurry up and wait. And that's why I'm able to kind of balance things, because 1 week there may be a new contract that comes through or a new fulfillment piece that comes through with a client. And there's a sprint for like a day or two delivery of service. And now it's on autopilot. Right? Because I have the systems and teams in place to now fulfill on that contract long-term. Right? So there's usually these like just short sprints that will happen. And that's where it's very unlikely they all happen at the same time, just due to how things usually work. But if they do, then that's where I just take the highest priority, the highest ROI activity, do that one first, then move on to the next thing. Yeah, essentially that's how it normally works for me personally. You know, whether I'm talking about the investment fund, that's like, okay, there's a big capital raise period, you know, we're like doing a lot of phone calls, a lot of periods, but then it's like nothing for like 6 to 9 months because there's nothing to do besides send an investor update out, you know, of like how things are going. And same with the SaaS company, unless it's a custom project that needs my expertise to come in and help tweak things or whatever. I have a whole fulfillment team that when someone goes through the landing page, books the setup call, has a fulfillment. There's videos that are set up that change my, like, there's no interaction that I need to do besides talk with the fulfillment team once a week and say like, hey, how are things going? Do we need to tweak anything? Like, you know, whatever. So that's how you can scale and have your sanity is having those systems in place. So while they're not the like sexy thing to do, they're so essential for businesses to get done.
Totally. Let's go back to this consistency comment that I made earlier, because I had intended to sort of talk about you said, you know, I can predictably go to McDonald's and I can, you know, be there and it's going to take me this amount of time at this time of day, you know, to get through the line, get my food and be on to my appointment. I also think about businesses like Nordstrom's or the old Ritz-Carlton, where they had consistency in the delivery of experience.
Yes.
And I wonder if you can speak to that a little bit, because it's a little bit different from, you know, teenagers who are following a computer that's telling them what to do next and the microwave beeps and they pull the food out and wrap it up the, you know, the certain way that they're taught to wrap it up and deliver it, you know, out the window of the building to the person waiting in the car.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. With the high-end service, the thing that you got to think to, and I think about this all the time, like no matter if you're talking about getting a Bentley, you know, delivered to your house or getting a cheeseburger from McDonald's, there's a start, a middle, an end, and pieces that are in between that need to be executed on. Let's say you're going to a Bentley dealership. Let's say the experience you walk into there is you walk in the door, there's someone there at the door that greets you, asks you like what you're here looking for, asks you a few questions. They walk you over to a salesperson that has this nice leather desk that you can go to sit down. They're like, would you like a beverage? You know, they go get you a beverage, come back, right? There's like steps that can happen repeatedly, right? That it's just different levels of service that we're talking about systematizing, right? That when you go back to the essence of what it is, it's a checklist, right? To have that delivery of awesome service, whether you're talking about a bellboy that's going to come down to your car when you pull up to the circle, grab your luggage, put it in, go to the check-in, find out what room you're going to, bring it up. You're right. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like there's still those just like sequence of events that happen. And really from an owner's perspective is understanding those steps and how long it takes for them to deliver the quality of service that you're looking to deliver for that experience. Right. Mm-hmm. Another example to elaborate, right? You go into the massage parlor. Well, you can do a massage for 5 minutes on somebody, or you can do a massage for 45 minutes, which is going to be a higher quality massage. Most likely that 45 minute one, right? Same with any other service that you do is that step that's in your checklist. You got to allocate an amount of time to, right? Mm-hmm. When you allocate that amount of time to that step, now you need to understand what's your capacity now per client for your business, right? Now that goes into a whole nother conversation of understanding that you need to self-regulate yourself then maybe. Yeah. That let's say you do a big promotion and you just bring on 100 clients, but you're looking to deliver this certain level of service to your clients. Do you even have the capacity to serve 100 clients in the way that you want to? And if you can't, you need to throttle that demand so that you can fulfill on that full level of service that you're looking to deliver that high quality service, right? And the way like a Ritz-Carlton does or something like that, they charge a high price, right? They're not going to get the volume mm-hmm. of people going through that hotel because there's only a certain level of clientele, a certain amount of rooms that are available at a certain price, you know, to be able to go through that experience that they can, you know, reliably deliver on every day compared to like the McDonald's example, yep. You know, it's cheap, fast, quick. Right. They can do a huge amount of volume, you know, through it. So and that's where just understanding your business from a service delivery perspective.
And I'm going to assume that, you know, the first time you try anything, you're going to have to make some guesses.
Yeah, absolutely.
But right. So that capacity question, that was a really good point. Thanks for bringing that up, because, you know, you can try it and not think ahead and fail miserably and alienate a bunch of people because the experience wasn't great. But yeah. If you're attentive, hopefully you learn from that. And absolutely. And right. And then you can actually create a better experience the next time around.
Absolutely. And you got to do, and you got to create like a pilot program. That's why people have pilot programs, right? Is that if you're rolling out a new product or service, and especially in the service industry, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know maybe how long, like you said, you don't know how long it's going to take for somebody to do X, Y, Z. And then not only on top of that, the more they do it, the more efficient they will get at. So, right. So of course, the first few times someone goes through a process, it's going to be kind of clunky and take a longer period of time. But now after they do 10, after they do 20, after they do 50, you're going to really find out what that average time will come out to be. And then that's where just you track that data, you know, through whatever means that you prefer to use, that you reevaluate that process before you launch it to the masses. Cause then now that you've gone through that pilot program, understand that the buying car experience takes an hour, mm-hmm. you know, from start to finish, right? Great. So then now you understand that depending on how many come in the door, you know, how many sales reps you need to have, you know, how many receptionists you need to have, and then you can staff accordingly based on that capacity that comes in. So
yeah. Absolutely. Well, and this speaks to something actually you know about this very well, our licensing program to marketing agencies, right? Yep. We started with our first group of beta licensees. So we were doing, you know, sort of a very soft launch several months ago. We've gone through multiple cohorts, and each time we've done the onboarding, we've learned something new from each group, which has allowed us to refine what we're including in the onboarding, or the order that we introduce ideas to them, one of the things we learned early on in the process was, well, they get the content and they love it, but they don't know how to sell it. And so we added an entire how to sell the program, you know, and then sales enablement support on the back end. We wouldn't have done any of this stuff had we not done sort of that soft launch kind of approach that you're talking about.
Well, absolutely. And the market's going to accept what the market's going to accept on things, right? So they'll tell you what to do, right? So that's the whole idea. What I go back to, you know, is my concept of marketing is that, you know, based on the experiences, what people want in the world, they're going to tell you either through paying you or not paying you, or showing up or not showing up type things. So absolutely, that as you're doing those pilot programs, it's so important to pay attention to feedback that you get from clients that go through and actually take meaningful steps to, well, in your own mind. And that's where you got to put your ego aside, right? And that's the thing that I think a lot of people, myself included, I'm full to raise my hand that, you know, if I have a great idea or I think like things amazing, but if the market tells me I'm not buying it, I don't care how great I think the product is or whatever, that they don't want it. So I guess I need to tweak things or change it. Right. Yeah. And that's based on feedback going in and making amendments and going from there.
Well, there are many more lessons that I'm sure that you've learned in all of the different projects you've been involved in and will continue to be involved in. Why don't we just take a quick moment to sort of explain, you know, some of the stuff that you're working on, and then where people can connect with you to, you know, learn more about what you're involved in and how, and if you might be able to be of help to them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you for that, David. The easiest place to catch up with me is over at LinkedIn. You can just search for a name, Kyle Krueger. And I'm sure David will put it in the show notes here.
Yep. We'll have a link as well.
But yeah, the main things that I'm involved with is I have the software as a service agency that we kind of have a techie approach and an advanced approach that for those that are non-techie that want to kind of an all-in-one inclusive CRM service. We have that. And then those that want kind of all the bells and whistles, we have that service as well. Then I have a partnership with an EMDR therapist, which is very unique. He works with C-suite individuals and professional athletes and celebrities that anyone that's going through a tough time that typically needs to not have time for a year of therapy, but wants to get something fixed in a couple of days, he's your man. Let me tell you. And then also we got the investment fund as well, which has a couple different avenues that we do with that. But yeah, just reach out to me at LinkedIn if you're interested in any of those and want to talk more about it. I'm always up for a conversation.
Awesome. Well, Kyle, I'm so happy we had a little bit of a chance to chat about operations as marketing. And I know there's a lot more on this topic that we can cover. And I hope we have the opportunity to do so again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, David.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Thanks for hanging out with us. And if you know somebody who might benefit from listening to this episode, go ahead and send them the link. Appreciate it. Otherwise, we'll see you back here again next time. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.